This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And as promised, as I was saying at the top of the show, the very best guy to follow for any of this stuff is Eric Berger, former comrade of mine from the Houston Chronicle. He does space, he does weather, and he had a tweet today. And Eric's not a guy who's a worst-case scenario guy. He always is going to give you all the possibilities. So a few things he sent out today really just kind of made me very concerned for what's about to happen. So wanted to have him on. Eric, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on. Know it's a busy day for you.
Fred, it's my pleasure. I think it's been about 20 years since I visited you in your house after copy editing late one night. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has, man. One of these days we got to get a beer together again and catch up. But first question before we get to the impact a little bit up the coast. What, say, inside Beltway 8, what kind of impact do you expect on the Houston area?
So it really doesn't look all that extreme, and not extreme at all, in fact. I think the biggest threat probably is power outages. If you remember Hurricane Rita back in 2005, some of your listeners will, that was a similar storm. It was probably a little bit closer than Laura's going to be, but it was a little bit less intense, and it knocked out power to about one-third of customers in the Center Point area. We don't think it'll be quite as bad tonight, but I think people ought to have some expectation maybe of some power outages for at least a few hours, if not a little bit longer tonight.
As we move farther east, where's the first part of the state where you start worrying about how bad the storm surge is going to be? And how far north of I-10 will you be safe of that as you get towards Beaumont and Orange?
Yeah, I don't see storm surge in Beaumont and Port Arthur area being that bad because we're now pretty confident that they're going to be on the left side of the storm. So the surge in those areas may be 6 or 8 feet, which is not fun, but for most, for most residents and businesses, they're above that. The problem in those areas, I think, is going to be winds. But again, it looks like the center of the storm is going to remain in Louisiana. And so, they're going to see some hurricane force winds there, but maybe not quite as bad as it was during Rita when the center of the storm tracked closer to Beaumont than we think Laura is going to.
Why has this storm been kind of guesswork for everybody? Because, it seems like they've gotten these things down by a couple days before. They know exactly where they're going to go. Seems like the science has come a long way. Why was this one a little bit different? Why was it until today before you were, kind of sure where it was going to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the reasons is that, 3 days ago, this system was bouncing around Cuba. And for a track model to really get a good handle on a system like this, it has to have a very well-defined center of circulation. It doesn't need to have an eye, like a pinpoint eye like you see in a hurricane, but it really needs to have a center where all the winds are circling around. And as the system was kind of going up Cuba, the center was being broken up and then reforming, and so the models were having a really hard time initializing kind of where that center was and then projecting an accurate track. And so until it got off Cuba, on Monday, it was hard to really have a good idea. And then there was just a big spray in the models everywhere from the central Texas coast kind of up to southwestern Louisiana. And some of the models got it right, some got it wrong, but I have to say the National Hurricane Center had this track forecast about 2.5 days ago. And so they've been on the money. And at times it looked to me like it was going to come closer to Houston than it was, but in fact it didn't, and they proved right. So it's kudos to them.
So what are the areas of Louisiana that are going to get it worse? It looks like some of the things they're showing us from Lake Charles look bad. How far to the east is it going to have an impact?
I think it's going to have an impact pretty far to the east. I mean, certainly there's going to be a pretty bad surge all the way to the central Louisiana coast. It's not going to be that bad in New Orleans. But as you get to the center of the state and then points east, the surge is going to be quite devastating. The National Hurricane Center today described it as unsurvivable. And for people in low-lying areas there, you know that area. That's probably an apt description. And so it's going to be surge, and then it's going to be just deadly, deadly winds. This could make landfall at 145 or 150 miles per hour. And that is just, those are just extremely potent winds. And so for areas like Lake Charles and even a little bit further west of there, it's going to be really bad.
I was reading today that this thing is so big that it might get back into the Atlantic as it goes through the country and turn into a tropical storm again. Is that a real possibility?
Well, it's not that it's so big. It's that it is so intense right now. I mean, it does take time for storms to weaken over land, and this thing is just going to start booking it. I mean, it's already moving faster than storms typically do in the Western Gulf. It's moving about twice as fast as a lot of hurricanes. And so it's going to get inland, and it's found the edge of that high pressure system, and man, it's just going to ride around that thing like, you know, it's like you're going around a racetrack. And so it's going to have a couple days over land, but then it'll be back out of the Atlantic Ocean, and there probably will be enough of a center of circulation that it may redevelop and eventually become an extratropical cyclone.
Eric Berger's our guest. You can follow him at Space City WX. You can also follow him at SciGuy Space if you're kind of a space nerd, as Aaron is and as I am. He's also great at that. Getting back to Beaumont, you mentioned 6 to 8 feet for the storm surge. How does that compare to what Ike hit Galveston with?
Ike, as you may recall, was this huge tropical storm. Hurricane. Bigger. It was less intense than Laura, but much bigger. And so it was moving slower. So it had days and days to build up this monumental surge. I don't remember offhand, but I want to say it was like probably 12 to 15 feet in Beaumont. So the surge from Ike would have been larger than what they'll see on the backside of Laura.
All right. That's Eric Berger. I got one more question for you, because you had a tweet today that was pretty alarming when you talked about what would happen if this thing had hit at Freeport and what it would have done to Houston. Could you share a little bit of those thoughts and kind of how maybe we need to be aware of this and start putting a little pressure on our politicians to do something about it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So when you break it down, there are three main threats from a hurricane. There's inland rainfall, which is not a threat with this storm since it moved so fast, but Houston does know that threat. We had the reasonable worst-case scenario for that with Hurricane Harvey 3 years ago. I don't think it's going to get worse than that, so if we're planning for a flood storm, that's the one to plan for. You know, we had Ike back in 2008, and that had a pretty big surge, but that made landfall basically on the east side of Houston. And to really get a bad surge into Galveston Bay, you really need to be on the west side. So if that storm had come in 50 miles further down the coast, then it would have produced an even more devastating surge. Even then, the surge from Ike was pretty bad, but that wasn't worst case. And frankly, we haven't taken any steps to build that. We haven't built an Ike dike. We haven't built this series of parks that Rice University is talking about. And then the final threat really is wind, Fred. And frankly, Houston has not seen a landfalling major hurricane with the strong winds coming over the city of Houston since 1961 with Hurricane Carla. So almost no one living here really knows what a major windstorm can do to all the structures that have been built basically since 1961. So you know, this storm, 140 miles per hour, if it had come in Freeport or San Luis Pass down there, it would have put those 145-mile winds over Galveston, and then they'd weaken some. But you're still talking about, you know, wind gusts above 150 miles per hour in the city of Houston. And that would have just blown roofs off. You're talking about power outages for weeks, if not months. It would have put a surge into the ship channel that would have flushed out all of the refineries and other energy companies there. I mean, it would have just been proved devastating for this region. So, you know, we really need to be thinking about this, because we came within 100 miles of having this worst-case scenario.
Well, and, you know, for years they talked about the worst-case scenario in New Orleans, and then when it happened with Katrina, it pretty much was everything that they said it was going to be, with the bowl and how everything was going to be devastated.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that here, so I'm glad you brought that up. And it is the kind of thing, because it is a worst case scenario. But as we've seen over the last few years, those things seem to be happening a lot more often.
I mean, we had it in 2005, and it turned. We've had it this year, and a similar storm, even more powerful, turned. You know, the next one might not turn. If this storm had come through the Caribbean, 100 miles south of its position, and followed this track, I mean, we would be, you know, Houston would be a ghost town, because everyone would be gone, and then, you know, we would be coming back and the city would be changed forever in very bad ways. So it's worth thinking about, and hopefully, you know, we get some action on something like the Ike Dike. We continue to improve our flooding situation, because that needs work. And then we have a real discussion about building codes and making sure our structures are capable of withstanding these kinds of winds, hardening the electrical grid, that kind of thing.
And not to be negative here, but we still aren't even to the peak of hurricane season, right? I mean, we still got a couple more, at least another month of having to keep an eye on the tropics.
Yeah, that's right. Here we are in 2020. You know, we're already on the M storm with Marco having come and gone. And the hurricane season doesn't peak for a couple more weeks. The peak is actually around September 10th. Now, the good news for Houston is that by the end of September, we're starting to see hopefully our first fronts. And the jet stream position has changed somewhat so that storms that form in the Caribbean or the Gulf are much less likely to track toward Texas. In fact, historically, after the last week of September, there's about a 1 in 50 chance of a hurricane hitting anywhere in the state, so it's quite low. So we have, you know, I'd say we have about another month or 5 weeks, and then we can maybe start to take a little bit of a breath, because this last week sure has been nerve-wracking.
All right, that's Eric Berger. Go to spacecityweather.com to check out all his work. I mean, that's the first thing I check every morning is Eric's tweets when things are going on, so I can get updated, because he is the best. And follow him on Twitter, SpaceCityWX, SciGuySpace. Eric, appreciate you, man, and let's get a beer at some point, get caught up. It's been too long.
I'd love to, Fred. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
All right, man. Eric Berger. Okay. I feel better about Beaumont after that.
A little bit.
Yeah. In fact, it's almost, you know, I don't want to say best case scenario, because, you know, it doesn't sound good for Orange, guys, but and it doesn't sound like New Orleans going to get hit that hard, but Lake Charles, and I guess it sounded like Baton Rouge maybe is going to be the far end over there. But, yeah. So, 409 says, hey, Fred, my parents and I are holed up just north of your retirement property listening to the show, Blitzers for Life. Hey, sounds like you guys are going to be okay there.
Everybody knows exactly where you live?
Well, I don't live there yet. You know what? And I will, just because, you know, third world problems, we hadn't started developing it yet. We were about to start. And,
good thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we waited, because, I mean, the wind's going to – we got a lot of trees there. There's going to be some down trees all over the place. So.
Does that mean you're going to be out there with a chainsaw next weekend?
Well, probably, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
You're a man's man.
No, I'm not. I'm just a guy who's going to have a bunch of down trees.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. And listen, it's a good time to start thinking about homeowners insurance. I mean, if you don't have it, boy, I bet you wish you did right now. But if you do have it, you know it's not cheap. And if you're paying too much, then you're just throwing money out the window. And it's so simple to find out what you could be saving. It takes just a text message. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask for your address. Reply back with that. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and their savings are real. They've got a nearly perfect online rating with over 1,000 reviews, and the average customer saving nearly $900 a year. There's no need to wait till your renewal. They're going to save you money now, help you get refunded on your previous policy right away. They're open right now, and they could start saving you money right now. It's so simple. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.